Stand back. I feel a talk show coming on. Happens frequently. Sometimes you can take two aspirin, call the doctor in the morning. Sometimes that helps, and other times you just have to sit down in front of this here microphone and start talking. And right now, 3:06 seems like a pretty good time to start. Jim Bohannon in for Bob today, and again tomorrow. We have a Best of Bob on Thursday, and Friday, Black Friday, I will again be gracing these airwaves because they pay me. Good to have you with us at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307, 71307, and we will be checking in with those as time passes. And, of course, do not forget that we are also available out there worldwide. Intergalactically, I suppose, if you can find the internet out there, at 1063WORD.com. There you go. All right. I was just thinking about impeachment since, you know, we're approaching Thanksgiving. And I wanted something to bring me down from my turkey high, so I started thinking about impeachment. Of course, in fairness to the Democrats, Jerry Nadler, the incoming Judiciary Committee chairman, has begun to back off of his talk about impeaching the president. We'll see what actually transpires come January 3rd when the new Congress convenes. And, of course, there's been talk about impeaching Brett Kavanaugh for doing nothing. I mean, he just took over as a Supreme Court justice, but that doesn't seem to matter. Of course, President Trump has been facing impeachment talk within days of his election victory, which is to say before he even took office. And, of course, you get down to the issue of what grounds. Collusion with Russia has never been proven. If it were proven, I would be upset. I would be disappointed that the Republicans had done something that stupid. But it's not illegal, nor do I think he did it. I mean, after all, Robert Mueller's been digging around now for over a year, and he's found nothing, nada, except a few minor underlings that had next to nothing to do with the Trump campaign, and he's come up with what I think will ultimately be his slinking away, with the Mueller probe ending not with a bang but a whimper. So, collusion with Russia is not a crime. Can the president obstruct justice by carrying out an undeniably constitutional act, such as firing the director of the FBI, the agency investigating the collusion? Even if we assume for argument's sake that the president could be criminally charged for such an act, isn't there some Justice Department rule against indicting a sitting president? If he may not be indicted at all, why is a special prosecutor investigating him? That's a really good question. If, in fact, there is a Justice Department rule against indicting a sitting president, why is there a special prosecutor investigating the president? Well, the honest answer, if you held down those on the left and injected truth serum into them, would be because we just want to smear him. We want to damage him. We want to hurt his credibility. We want to hurt his name brand. We want to do anything we can to defeat him, his policies, and anyone associated with him. That would be the honest answer. But, of course, in point of fact, that's not a legitimate use of prosecutorial power. So if, in fact, a sitting president may not be indicted, then what is a special prosecutor investigating him supposed to do? Presumably slander him, I would guess. Now, if he may not, in fact, be indicted to do things which are legal, which makes a lot of sense, I don't believe you can be indicted for doing something legal. Jim, you didn't cross the street until the light changed. Here's the indictment against you. See what I mean? All right. If he may not be indicted for legal exercises of his Article II prerogatives, dismissing subordinates, which a president clearly can do, criticizing the investigation's merits and the investigator's motives, which he can clearly do, that doesn't even go to Article II presidential powers. As a U.S. citizen, he can do that. Pardoning political allies, again, a presidential prerogative. And if you wonder about that one, you should go down the list sometime of the various people who have been pardoned by presidents in the final days of their time in office. It's like a who's who of America's most wanted in some cases. So surely that's not a basis for him being indicted. All right. Could he still be impeached over these things? This is an interesting question. Gerald Ford, I believe it was when he was House Minority Leader, said that an impeachable offense is anything that a majority of the House of Representatives at a given time says it is. Now, technically speaking, that's true. That seems like kind of a shaky basis when you start talking about high crimes and misdemeanors and all of that stuff. But again, when it boils right down to it, the Founding Fathers, they were pretty antsy. They were pretty antsy about this office of president. They hated the thought of a president. They were meeting in Philadelphia ostensibly to fix the Articles of Confederation, which had no executive and which left the country falling apart. And they knew that they had to do something. I'll go into deeper analysis of that a little bit later on. But right now, let's take a call here at the Ingalls Advantage Talk Line, 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. And we have Never Trump on his cell phone this afternoon, or her, as the case may be. I'm not sure of your gender, Never Trump. Good afternoon. 312 is our time.
That'll be a test for you to figure out at the end.
Oh, I see. Okay, very good. All right.
For the time.
Fair
enough. Hey, you know, this whole talk about impeachment, I hear about it much more on the right-wing radio channels and Fox News than I ever hear out of MSNBC or CNN. And if you ask Pelosi, she completely misses it. I haven't heard anybody on the left talking about impeaching Kavanaugh in a month.
It's been a while. That's true. As it comes closer to the time for them to actually do something about it, they have backed off. But if you were listening not that many months ago, you'd have heard talk about impeaching both of them. And from in at least one case, Jerry Nadler, the incoming chair of the House Judiciary Committee, where articles of impeachment would begin.
Right.
As I noted earlier in this hour, that they've begun to back off, but they certainly weren't early.
But, you know, in like this hyper-partisan news cycle, if you haven't heard about it in a day or two, it's a dead subject.
Not necessarily.
Things go by so fast.
Not necessarily.
Hey,
wait till January 3rd. We'll see January 3rd.
Yeah. But on the other point is that this whole impeachment topic isn't a legal thing. It's a purely political thing. And, you know, you don't have to have broken laws. You may have broken laws. You may have done things completely legal. It is purely a political statement directed against the president. And, of course, there are many, many things that Trump can do that are perfectly legal and bad. I mean, patently bad. And there's different levels of, you know, badness. So I don't think you're going to see the right having anything down on teeth-wise with the left on this impeachment talk. However, I think you're going to see a lot of Trump and his family paraded up for various investigations. Now you got, you know, lock her up and you got to say, who is she or who are we talking about?
No, we don't have to ask who is she. Hillary. Trust me on that. We all know it's Hillary, okay? But that has not changed. But tell you what, I'd like you to stay on the line here because I'd like to talk some more about this. But the essential point that Never Trump made is true. Jerry Ford was right. An impeachable act is whatever a majority of the House says it is at a given time. And although it's spelled out in the Constitution, high crimes and misdemeanors, but what does that say? All right, we'll come back and talk some more. Jimbo for Bobby Mack today at 106.3 WORD. It's 3:15. We're doing that legendary thing again. Okay, it's 3:20 here at 106.3 WORD. It's a Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And over at the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, impeachable equals what a majority of the House votes until a federal judge rules against it. No, texter. Federal judge has nothing to say about the impeachment process. The House votes to impeach. The Senate has a trial, which is presided over by the Chief Justice, and that's it. That's it. The penalty removal from office. No president has ever been convicted. Two, Johnson and Clinton were impeached but not convicted. Nixon would have been convicted, but he resigned first. And that we've been talking to Never Trump on the line about this subject of impeachment. And I think you made a correct statement. I don't think the founders intended it to be political. They meant it as the ultimate weapon against a tyrannical public official. But the wording is so vague that I would go along with you. It's a political act. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was it on that statement. I just don't think that you're going to see the Democrats really make any moves on that. If they're smart, come the first of the year, they're just going to go about working and not spike the ball and talk about what they're going to do. They just have to start working on things that they have some common ground, like health care, hopefully, you know, if there's any common ground there. Certainly the repeal and replace is dead until you find a replace. And maybe infrastructure spending, which is always they can find some common ground, you would think, except that this time you're going to end up fighting about is the money spent in cities or is it spent to build six-lane highways out in the middle of Kansas?
Mm.
But they have to start to work.
I would think so. I think it would be better for both parties, honestly. In regard to Obamacare, you're right. Repeal and replace. Republicans had their shot, and they totally, totally blew it. I don't just mean that they failed to do it. I mean they dropped the ball every which way. And so now even
you're
Mitch McConnell.
Right, Jimbo.
Even Mitch McConnell,
yep,
says that they need to, since Obamacare ain't going anywhere and it's in bad shape, it needs to be fixed. So I think you may find common ground fixing Obamacare, even though Republicans would retain the option to try later to repeal and replace. Prescription drug prices, certainly on infrastructure. I agree with you again, Never Trump. What a historic day this is. I think that, and of course, don't forget that it's a very bipartisan viewpoint. What the heck if we put it on the gross national credit card? Both sides are quite willing to jack that national debt past $30 trillion if they need to. And then you get down to one other area. I think immigration. I believe there is a deal to be made out there, certainly between Schumer and Trump and maybe Pelosi and Trump. Give Trump his wall and the Dreamers get amnesty. I'm not saying that anybody would be thrilled
with
that.
There's...
But it can happen.
That is absolutely true. There is all kinds of gray areas in between there also. And I think above all, Trump wants to look as though he's succeeded. He's always the deal maker. And if he's got to do it on his own and give up something that the Freedom Caucus hates and, risk that, I think he's going to do it, because he has to get the independent vote that he had lost in 2016 when he won that vote by 6 points. And, he was on the ballot earlier this month, and he lost the independent vote by 8. So what was that, a 14-point swing? That's not looking good for him in 2020.
No, if this were 2020, that would be true. Of course, 2 years is an eternity in politics, but I would agree for the analysis of this moment, yes, that would not be a good sign for the president. Now, I'll tell you one other thing, however, and that would be this. If, in fact, you have people decide they're going to get in the president's face, maybe not with an impeachment motion before the Judiciary Committee, but if essentially Robert Mueller just hands his files over to Jerry Nadler at Judiciary and Adam Schiff at Intelligence, and they continue these probes legislatively, and then you got Maxine Mama Doc Waters at Financial Services, and all of these people get into the president's face. Well, we all know how Donald Trump reacts to people in his face. At that point, you have 2 years of not only gridlock, but you have 2 years of nasty gridlock. So if the Democrats want to work with the president, they can. If they want to create a confrontation with Donald Trump, that's not that hard to do.
Well, Trump's going to have to grow some thick skin and learn how to separate some of these things that he can actually look like he's getting something done, while at the same time he takes a punch from Maxine Waters. I mean, he can do both of them.
Well, I'll put it this way. I don't think he's going to grow a thick skin, but I would say this. For example, I just got a text here, hell no on amnesty, to which I would reply, given the current circumstances, I'm not happy with amnesty, but if it got the wall, I think that that's the most important thing we can do, to actually have a vehicle by which we can determine, not 100% perfectly, but certainly 95, 97% perfectly, who gets into the country. It's worth it. It's worth it.
That's right, Jimbo. That's right.
Again,
all for a big, fat compromise.
Well, I have no problem with that, given the current circumstances. I mean, again, Republicans are in this position, and you got to live with it. And that would be my take on it. All right. I appreciate thanks your call there. That's the most moderate sounding I've ever heard, Never Trump. And one texter was not happy here. Listening to Never Trump or pretending to be moderate makes me sick to my stomach. Trump did not lose the House. The incumbent House Republicans gave it away. They lost the House. And who is to blame for that? That's an open question. I don't think, frankly, that most House members had a whole lot to say about what happens in another House district. Another text regarding impeachable equals what a majority of the House votes until a federal judge rules against it. I pointed out that a federal judge has no jurisdiction, and the texter replies, the court can rule the House or Senate acted unconstitutionally, not in an area that is exclusively their province. The House alone is the judge of impeachment, and you cannot act unconstitutionally. The House can vote to impeach any federal official, and by definition, it's constitutional. So, wrong again. Sorry about that. Anyway, I just note, as we were talking a few minutes ago, the Founding Fathers were really antsy about creating a presidency. They knew the Articles of Confederation weren't working. There was no executive at all at that time, and they had to do something. They were afraid of another King George, and so they settled for George Washington. Had there not been a George Washington in whom this country placed immense trust, there would never have been an office of the presidency, and maybe not even a United States of America. But they did get a presidency, and Washington, to his credit, behaved impeccably and set, of course, the two-term precedent that later was enshrined in a constitutional amendment. And so we have the presidency today, but we still have this means of getting rid of a president. Again, note that we have never done so. Never, never have done so. Andrew Johnson impeached, not convicted, albeit by one vote. That was close. Clinton impeached, but not convicted, and didn't even really get close. Nixon resigned first, or he would have been impeached and convicted. And there's really no basis for impeaching President Trump. You had a better basis for impeaching Barack Obama, quite frankly, who in fact did unconstitutional things like rewrite the employer mandate in the Obamacare law. Presidents may not rewrite laws. They may sign them into existence. They may veto them subject to a constitutional override, but they may not in fact rewrite the law. So President Obama was much more eligible for impeachment than is Donald Trump. This is Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, now 329. Well, 23 minutes now before 4 o'clock for this Tuesday afternoon, November the 20th. And good to have you aboard today as we do our filling-in thing here. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. And the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. I've been talking about impeachment because it has certainly been the subject of considerable discussion on the part of the Democrats leading up to the election. And now, of course, they have the House. And I will grant, as the previous caller noted, that the leaders, the movers and shakers, especially Jerry Nadler, the incoming chair of the House Judiciary Committee, where impeachment would have to begin, has backed off. Yes, that's true. We'll see. We'll see. The young bucks, the insurgents, those who are threatening to deny Nancy Pelosi the speakership, they very much want impeachment. They are out to light torches and start fires and really don't care what they do to the Democratic Party. And in that regard, I say go for it. Make your party look as ridiculous as possible, because 2020 is not that far away. So, yeah, I'm with him. If you want to make the Democrats look even worse than they actually are, then allow me to help you in any way that I can. Let's not forget, by the way, that we are only 13 months away from the Iowa caucuses. Have you thought about that? That's how close we are to the next election. Oh, my gosh, we just got this one out of the way. Another texter says that, the same texter with whom I've been having this running discussion, that Alan Dershowitz says that the courts could, in fact, rule impeachment unconstitutional. First of all, I've interviewed Alan a number of times, and there's no way he would say that, because the Constitution is crystal clear on the subject. No, federal courts have exactly zero input on the impeachment process, with the exception that the Chief Justice would preside over any Senate trial. No, no, it's impossible. The House may vote to impeach an official because they are left-handed. Stupid, if they chose to do that, but entirely constitutional. So keep in mind one thing. You may remember how Bill Clinton left office in disgrace. Well, he did leave office, and I guess you could call him in disgrace, but he served out his full 8 years, okay? He wasn't forced out of office. Andrew Johnson served the entire time that he was president, was not forced out of office. Donald Trump is not going to be forced out of office. I'm not even sure that, given the nature of the way impeachment could go, I'm not even sure that he'll be embarrassed like Trump was, and damaged like Andrew like Clinton was, or damaged like Andrew Johnson was. So in order for a Senate conviction to occur, you would have to have all 47 Democratic senators and 20 Republicans. The president would have to be caught shooting a nun at high noon in the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue for that to happen. So he's not going to be removed from office. But there has been talk, of course, of impeaching Brett Kavanaugh. Are they going to do that? Again, as in the case of the impeachment of the president, I haven't heard that in a while, but it was mentioned, and I'm sure there are those out there who would like to do it. For what, of course? Because of all the rulings that Kavanaugh has made on the Supreme Court? Well, that he just got there, right? He just got there. So I wonder, would they try to do that? Technically, you could. Again, high crimes and misdemeanors, that's the standard. But you may recall that a lot of the activity that has been aimed at Kavanaugh for impeachment would be the issue of judicial temperament. They were upset that Kavanaugh actually defended himself with that, what some have called, angry outburst, after he was lied about and lied to in his confirmation hearings and got angry. I would call that the temperament of any normal human being myself. But be that as it may, if in fact that's the standard, okay, he lacks a judicial temperament. All right, let's go to another Supreme Court justice, who in a July 2016 interview with the New York Times, this Supreme Court justice said of candidate Donald Trump, I quote, "I can't imagine what the country would be with Donald Trump as our president," unquote, and that her late husband would have said it was time for us to move to New Zealand, unquote, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Should we impeach her? That is certainly not a judicial temperament. I'll give her full credit for the fact that Ginsburg later apologized. That's true, although adding, she added to her original attack by telling CNN he, meaning Trump, has no consistency about him. He says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. Oh, there's an impeachable offense. How has he gotten away with not turning over his tax returns? Well, Ruthie, I'll tell you, it's because it's not illegal. That's how he's gotten away with it. He hasn't had a law that compels him to do so. And then she adds this. I love this from Ginsburg. The press seems to be very gentle on him on that. Yeah, the press has been gentle on Donald Trump from day one, Ruth, back in your parallel universe, I suppose. All right. But for the record, if it really bothers people, this whole notion of judicial temperament, Brett Kavanaugh also apologized. In an opinion piece published in the Wall Street Journal, you may recall, just before his confirmation, Kavanaugh wrote, At times, my testimony, both in my opening statement and in response to questions, reflected my overwhelming frustration at being wrongly accused without corroboration of horrible conduct completely contrary to my record and character. My statement and answers also reflected my deep distress at the unfairness of how this allegation has been handled. Well, liberals saw no basis for Ginsburg to recuse herself from cases involving President Trump despite her partisan attack. Will they extend the same courtesy to Brett Kavanaugh? Don't hold your breath. In any event, regarding the two cases of impeachment that have been discussed, for the record, I doubt it'll happen unless the Democrats really want to commit suicide. Quite frankly, the attacks on Kavanaugh went a long way toward Republicans not only holding the Senate but increasing their lead in the Senate. And you'll note, of course, that Senators Heidi Heitkamp, Joe Donnelly, and Claire McCaskill are all packing up their Senate offices, which should tell you a lot. If the Democratic leadership has its way, I think that you may see a backing off on the president. It would be smart of them, and in that regard, I urge them to go full steam ahead and attack him every way they can, and maybe they can lose a few more seats come 2020. But I suspect that they'll not do that. I suspect that the leftist insurgents will get treated as what they are, which is a minor annoyance. And you might actually see some legislation get passed. It won't always be stuff that we would like, but who knows? We might get the wall. It could happen. It's 3:45, Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD. And it is 10 minutes before 4 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Good to have you with us at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Jim Bohannon just getting my full wind here, and we're set to go now till 7 o'clock for weather. I thought we might not make it past 5:15, but we're going to make it the whole way. Trust me on that. The Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. 71307. And of course, we are available planet wide at 1063WORD.com. Okay, here, let's see. Hi, Jim. Just a question. A liberal judge stopped Trump's making it illegal to allow ICE to screen illegal aliens. That law allowing it was via Obama's executive order. Can't Trump create a counter executive order making the judge stay null and void? I'm not sure that he could do that. I think the way that this has to be resolved is probably right up through the appellate process. And the decision on the latest immigration asylum was made by a single judge, not a part of the Ninth Circuit. This was, I believe, made by a district judge, so it would go next to the Ninth Circuit, where undoubtedly the Ninth Circuit would disagree with the president, and then it would have to go with the Supreme Court, at which point the Supreme Court, I think, would probably uphold the president, would be my thought. So, in any event, it's possible that we may actually see a period of some bipartisanship if the adult supervision prevails in the Senate and the House. It's possible. The three branches of Congress, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. I'm quoting that legal scholar, Alexandra Ocasio-Braniac. But it's possible. It might be to the advantage of both sides. Again, Democrats really got smacked across the chops for the way they took out after Brett Kavanaugh. I think that is reflected in the Republicans increasing their Senate vote. If they're smart, and I'm the first to add that I rather hope they're not, but if they're smart, they might work out some deals. Again, I would not be thrilled with amnesty for the Dreamers, but it would only be, of course, the current batch of Dreamers. I'm talking about grandfathering in the ones who are here and building the wall. I think the wall is vital. Without the wall, it doesn't matter what kind of an immigration law you have if you can't enforce it. If you actually have a basis for determining who gets into the country, then, and of course, if you follow that up with enforcement of visas and the like, so that once people are in, they don't just overstay their visa, then you've got a basis for actually controlling who comes into the country. No, no wall is perfect. Agreed. It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be simply pretty good, and as good as we can make it. And that would be sufficient in this regard. I think it would be worth it. I'm not thrilled about the prospect, but again, Republicans were not able to get a lot of things done that they should have otherwise, and you now face the new reality of the House controlled by Democrats. 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, the Ingalls Advantage talk line. The notion of some cooperation, I think, could include infrastructure spending, just because that is an area where both parties are in bipartisan agreement. Yes, put things on the gross national credit card. So what if the national debt is past $20 trillion? Do I hear 25? Do I hear 30? Deficit hawks are not in prime supply inside the Beltway. That's never been an area that the president has cared much about. He cares about trade deficits a lot. Budget deficits, not so much. And that bothers me. That bothers me a great deal. Let's see here. Jimbo, it is only bipartisanship when Republicans go along with Democrats. We'll never see it the other way around anymore. I don't know. I mean, it's not impossible. For example, on the issue of the wall, that would be a presidential initiative. And I could see that happening. Because, again, Democrats recognize their limitations, too. Before, they were just strictly an opposition party in a bomb-throwing position. They didn't have the House. They didn't have the Senate. They didn't have the presidency. They didn't have the Supreme Court, for that matter. Now, they actually are in a position where they can get some things done. There's a possibility that it would be bipartisan, and it would actually be something, let's say, started by the president. I could see him proposing something like what I just mentioned, the wall for grandfathering in the Dreamers, and I could see Democrats going along with it. It would be bipartisan. It wouldn't make me thrilled, but that wall is that important to me anyway. Let's see here. I think the idea of bipartisanship in this environment is akin to the Hillary-Russia reset, wishful thinking and nothing more. Oh, it's not real bipartisanship. It's not like there's actually a meeting of the minds. It is simply from a purely practical point of view. It might be the advantage to the advantage or perceived to be to the advantage of both parties to do so. I don't think it's wishful thinking at all. In fact, I'm not even sure that I'm thrilled about the notion. But then again, I didn't want us to be here in the first place. I didn't want to lose the House, but we did. So the only way that could work is if amnesty were contingent on the wall being built. No amnesty until the wall is finished. Yes, agreed. Absolutely agreed. No amnesty until the wall is finished. Absolutely. I would thoroughly concur with that. So it might happen. We'll see. But you get a few loose cannons going, like Maxine Waters. She could torpedo this all by herself, because she is totally undisciplined, totally strident, and she, let's assume that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer decided we're going to work with the president, we're not going to get in his face, and we're not going to be painted into a corner of being extremist like we were with Brett Kavanaugh. But Maxine Waters, if she chairs the Finance Committee, this could happen. This could happen. Maxine Waters could, in a way, be a top weapon for the Republicans. Actually, that could be the case. Go Maxine. Go Alexandria Ocasio-Braniac. Yes, I think it's very possible Democrats may overreach here, but I think the leadership is not inclined to do so, which is really a shame, because I would love to see them overreach. But anyway, got some other things to talk about in the next hour, and some of them look forward to Thursday, as a matter of fact. So stay with us here. Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the clock on the wall tick-tocks around to 3 minutes before 4:00.